Thank you very much. Now we're distinguished Rabbanim, Mr. President, wonderful dinner chairs, family, dear friends. Thank you all for coming and for sharing and for this beautiful evening together. Lisa and Doogie, Vicky and Mark, Alan and Glenna, Lissa, Judy, the entire dinner committee and the army of volunteers. The beauty, the warmth, the elegance of this evening reflects the extraordinary hard work that you have invested in it, down to the detail, the pictures on the tables. Although I'm not sure what the hiking picture is about. Somebody will explain it. From the invitations to the decor, from the video tribute, to the journal, to the speakers, to the surprise speakers, this evening program, participation of family, friends, and colleagues, it has all been a labor of love, and it has captured the hearts and feelings of everybody here. Thank you. If you'll allow me to reverse the order that is typically the order of speeches, I want to start with family. I want to start with Bela. We met nearly 40 years ago at a B'nai Akiva Minyan in Sydney, Australia. Since then, our lives have taken us to Jerusalem, Shalavim, Calgary, Toronto, St. Louis, and now back to Israel. You often joke that you married a computer scientist living in Israel and ended up a career rabbits in North America. But somehow, magnificently, you found a way to do it all. You devote 100% of your time to our beautiful and Nachasville family, Leah and Hara. 100% of your time is rabbitsin to participate in shul programs, engaging the members, helping with both spiritual and physical needs. 100% of your time teaching art to all the grades at Epstein Hebrew Academy. And while this kind of math typically only works for Yogi Berra, somehow you make it work in real time. What many of you may not know is that Bela has a few secret ambitions. Her own, let's call it a bucket list. Skydiving, skiing, axe throwing. She has actually gone skiing. And thanks to JSU, and if you'll run the video, please. There's only one thing left on your bucket list, Mr. Gornish? No. Rabbi Akiva famously said to his students regarding his own wife, Shali v'shalachem, Shala. All that is mine and all that is yours is due to her. Truly, Shali v'shalachem, Shala. All that is ours, with all our hearts, and with all my heart. I love you, and I am excited that together we will be starting the next chapter of our lives, fulfilling the dream of returning home. Sippy, thank you for your beautiful tribute, beautiful words on behalf of the family in the video. And to all of our children, Sippy and Mati, Dasi and Morty, Shmuli and Tamar, Tal and Nadi, Khil, Galit, and grandchildren, Lianara, those in here in 3D and those here in 2D, Mommy and I are immensely proud of all of you. We appreciate how each of you has embraced our decision to return to Israel and have done so with support and with love, and a decision that will undoubtedly be easier for some of you than for others. But each of you deserves our thanks and a special recognition. It's not easy to grow up in the glass home of a public figure, a public space. But you have created your own niches and your own character wherever you are in the world, physically and spiritually. And we love you all very, very much. My dear parents obviously could not make the journey to be here, too far and too hard. We are extraordinarily grateful to them for all the love and support that they have shown us over the years. And it is, as Bela said, at times like this that we especially miss Bela's mother, Nana, Sonia, Zichrona Livracha, whose loving neshama continues to watch over her children and grandchildren from the Olam HaEmes. Thank you to Robert and Erica and Joel and Debbie and Chaim and Nina and Julian. You together represent the extended family of siblings and Mechutanim. Distance and family obligations did not allow all of them to join us in person, but we are very appreciative that you are all here and that you represent them well. I've divided my remarks into categories, so you'll forgive me, but it's the easiest way for me to organize my thoughts. I want to start with the shul. A rabbi's work is a partnership between religious and lay leadership. Nothing can really be accomplished without the success of that partnership. Max and Jeremy, you and your board have gone above and beyond, engage every family to bring passion to your leadership, to make my job that much easier. The team have enhanced the Kiddush experience, deepened social programs and outreach, helped grow the membership, brought new youth and vigor to the shul, to the family, and more. You are doing a great job so far. I'm just sorry I won't be here to enjoy the next 7 years of your presidency. Looking back over the last 18 years, it was actually 17 and a half, but 18 years ago I came and spoke at the Shul Dinner, so technically it really is 18 years. I consider myself blessed to have been able to work with wonderful presidents and their boards. Each of them brought their unique personality and perspective to this role. But all of them were guided by a deep respect for the role of the rabbi. And so I thank them all. Bobby Meadow, Hilton Price, Adam Lipchansky, Max Gornish, Chanti Felsher, and Max. Shul cannot function without its gabayim. They are the conductors of a complex orchestra. And so they also need our thanks. So to Danny, Elliot, and Joel, our backup gabayim, Ben, Mark, David, Murray. You are the conductors. We are the orchestra. Judy, It is very hard to describe in one paragraph what Judy does in her role: office manager, kitchen mashgiach, secretary, bookkeeper, gatekeeper, and overall director of all things large and small. 17 of our 18 years here, you have held down the fort in the office, initial operations, programs, kiddushin, events. I don't believe we could be here now without your tireless commitment. Thank you. Rose has been blessed with a cadre of talented rabbinic leadership, all of whom support one another, mutual respect, work together as partners in an effort to advance spiritual life in St. Louis. I cite but just two examples of that community cooperation, the community-wide Amud Weekly and Smichas Chaver programs of the Kollel. Thank you, Trevor Miller and Rabbi Berkowitz, who are here tonight, and partners in Torah, expand the engagement of the broad spectrum of the Jewish community. Many of the rabbis have taken the time to be here this evening, and we thank you all for your partnership in the Avodas HaKodesh of this community. But if you'll allow me to highlight three in particular. One, unfortunately, could not be here. Family obligations kept Rabbi Fuchter from being able to participate in this simcha. He has been a true partner. He's an outstanding rabbinic leader, a Talmud Chacham, a mensch, a wonderful and energetic mechanech, with the ability to relate to kids of all backgrounds and inspire them to grow in Yirat Shamayim. I often wonder how he manages to accomplish so much in the amount of time it takes others to achieve half of what he does. And then I realized the answer: he's from New York. And therefore he operates with a different concept of time. But he has been a true friend and partner in the leadership of the shul and the school. And we owe him a great deal of thanks. Rabbi Rubinson. I'm gonna spill a secret. Yeah, sorry. 18 years ago, you counseled me not to come to St. Louis. I did not take your advice then. Haven't often taken your advice sometimes. But I'm glad that over the years, you have not held that against me, at least as far as I know. On the contrary, you have been a confidant, a friend, and partner. I'm often inspired by your remarkable devotion to your students. It's something that you and I both saw in our mutual mentor, Rabbi Yitz, Zichrono Livracha. And there can be no higher, and there can be no higher praise, as you know. I also owe you a personal thanks for empowering and enabling me to pursue my passion as Bela and I turn to explore what the next chapter in our lives in Israel may hold for us, the Dai L'Chakim. Herb Greenblatt, Shlita. Where do I begin? Thank you for your kind words much earlier this evening, and your very moving truth. I so deeply cherish your warm friendship, the keen insights, and your constant support. As been mentioned several times, I too will miss our coffee dates. And I won't share what we discussed in those conversations, but allow me to share this. Over the years here, there have been several times when I, both in my role as the Rabbi of Young Israel and in various educational roles in which I have had the privilege of serving, about which I will speak in a moment, have had to take public positions, halachic and hashkafic, may not have been politically correct in other circles of the community and beyond. I was able to navigate through those challenges in no small part by by relying on your friendship, your support, your wise counsel, and your mental type. I know many rabbinic colleagues who have had similar or equally challenging experiences in their careers and ended up leaving the pulpit altogether. I feel privileged that not for a moment did I ever feel that these challenges would break me or break the show. To a large degree, more than most people here know, I credit that to your personal friendship, your support, and our deep mutual respect. Thank you. Rabbi also works in the communal space outside of the shul. While I've had the privilege of working with many community professionals, I want to recognize two in particular tonight. Marcy, where is Marcy? Excuse me? I shall have to catch her on the video. Your work in JPRO has raised the level of professionalism for the entire community. JPRO is a masterclass on how to inspire and enable professional excellence on all levels. And the man standing in the back of the room, Scott. We deserve all the accolades and ovations, not just for keeping us safe, but for recognizing the value of what we do in the religious life of a synagogue, and understanding and respecting the unique needs of the Orthodox community. We will not forget the morning of October 7th, 2023, Shmini Atzeret in Kostova, and how you took the time to come to each of the shuls personally to let us know what was going on because you understood how important it was for us to have that information and also how limited our access to news was that day. It was not just part of your job. It was because you are a mensch. Thank you. My 32 years in the pulpit, I have been privileged to have many rabbinic mentors who have inspired me, taught me with immense depth and scholarship, helped me navigate challenges and often unpredictable circumstances, posting who have been open to my calls at all times. But I'm at the special school to be part of a cadre of rabbis who call, and was zocha to call, of J.J. Shachter, Shlita, our Rebbe and our mentor. Rav Shachter began the program called the Rabbinic Yerachei Kala 22 years ago in Boston. I cannot begin to tell you how many drashot, shiurim, and general perspectives on rabbinic life I have gleaned and learned from his mentorship. And while he couldn't be here today, I am ever grateful to him for his friendship, his mentorship, and the letter that he penned in the journal this evening. I will only warn the next rabbi that if he's part of that Yerachei Kala, he's got to throw out the book because I've used virtually everything that's there. But undoubtedly, the greatest influence in my rabbinic life has been my parents. And by extension, my grandparents. My father has been my rabbinic mentor for as long as my conscious memory recalls. In the early years of my rabbinate, I would share drashot with him to review. And when there were difficult political circumstances to address, I would first call him for his wise counsel. My mother, herself from a rabbinic family, showed us how much the rabbinate was a full partnership between the Rav and the Rebbetzin, and how the relationship and friendship we create with members can last a lifetime if we continue to nurture them. They also serve to create a bridge to their parents' world, a world of Torah scholarship, rabbinic leaders, master educators, deep and passionate devotion to Israel, to Hebrew language, Tanakh, and more. And so for my remarks this evening, as I draw this discussion to a conclusion, I want to pull on three values of Jewish life that I learned from them that I've always strived to prioritize in my communal leadership. I entered the rabbinate as a way of expanding opportunities to teach Torah to adults. That passion has been aided today by technology and our weekly shiurim that are attended by members of the communities in which we have lived, including Israel. But St. Louis afforded me a unique opportunity that most communal rabbis don't get. And that's the opportunity to create a new school and lead a school community. I feel absolutely humbled and privileged to have been part of the story of the founding of Yeshivat Kadima. Deeply indebted to its professional leadership over the years, Rabbi Freund, Dr. Hager, who is here tonight, later joined by Rabbi Rothstein, Rabbi Fuchter, the lay leadership, Jimmy, Heschel, Mark, Howard, Zev, and so many others. Together, we created one of the most precious jewels of our community's chinuch offerings. When Epstein Hebrew Academy later turned to me and asked me to help guide them through a particularly rough period, without a head, facing a building move and a school merger, I again felt humbled and honored. Epstein has always been a critically important part of the chinuch of St. Louis, and I was honored to be asked to help right the ship and navigate Epstein back to a position of strength when it could once again hire its own head, Rabbi Miller, who could then lead and carry it forward. But I could not have done it alone. Education is a team effort based on mutual trust. Trust in the school's educational mission, trust in the ability of the administration to implement that mission, trust in the professionalism of its educators. And while I was humbled by the invitation, I could not have done it without the partnership of the lay leadership of the school and the shul, as well as two individuals who have been and continue to be the backbone of Epstein Hebrew Academy, Rabbi Fuchter and Mrs. Ita Boyko. We have always been both an extraordinary debt of gratitude and admiration. Our work with the youth of the community included not just the formal educational framework, but the informal as well. We needed a team minyan led by Rabbi Fuchter, Shabbat groups led by multiple generations of our team leaders and now under the able guidance and leadership of Rabbi Nijinsky. Mishinantan parent-child learning to role model for our children the priority of Torah study. Shabbat youth programming over the years provided by NCSY and JSU, Rabbi Ravinsky and Sam, and the JSU team, as well as the beloved Benot Shirut and Shlichim of Torah Mitzvah. Community that values its youth, that sees its youth as its future, and empowers them through Torah learning and inspiration, is a community that will continue to grow and thrive, both in strength and in passion. In the words of our sages, "Ha'olam mitkayem mitoch hevel piyem shel tinokot shel Beit Rabban," the world is sustained by the breath of our children learning Torah. The second anchor is tefillah. Tefillah done right is one of the hardest religious experiences in the modern world. The words are repetitive, its structure is rigid, and yet it must always be fresh and energetic. What makes davening at Yom Yisrael special is its music. Not just in terms of nusach or congregational singing, although they play an important role, the music of davening is the learning that surrounds it and infuses it with understanding, the music of davening of the words that are said with care and with kavana and focus. This year, our davening has been a particularly important part of our story and our avodas Hashem, because our focus has been so heavily drawn to Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael. So we pray for the hostages, we pray for our chayalim, we pray with passion. Our needs are great. Our souls cry out. Utfilah tshuva utzdaka ma'avirin et roa ha'gazera. Lastly, I have never hidden my passion and love and belief in Israel as Reshit Smichat Gulateinu, the first flower of the promised redemption of our people. It is part of our family legacy that goes back to my grandparents who founded the Mizrahi movement and Bnei Akiva in South Africa. Rav Soloveitchik always said that in our generation, what unites us with the Orthodox community, with the broader Jewish community most, is our standing together shoulder to shoulder for Israel. And I found the opportunity to challenge that, to channel that value through our work at APAC. After our first policy conference, Marcy and Rick, who then were the presidents of the St. Louis APAC Council, and later Nathan and Linda Cohen, who unfortunately could not be here tonight, invited me to join the APAC St. Louis Council. St. Louis APAC. And through APAC, we were able to accomplish great things together, including the partnership that enabled us to assist in effecting real change in our congressional leadership. You've often heard me quote my grandfather's interpretation of the following passage of the Talmud. Amar leh Rabbi Yochanan, Ika sabe bebava. Tama bi'amar. Yochanan, who lived in Israel, was dismayed when he was informed that there are, quote, old people in Bavel, in Babylon. For he was taught that only in Israel can there be old age. When they told him that in the communities there, they come early to shul and they stay late. Amar, hainu the ahanilu, that's the merit that enables them to reach old age. That's the quote. The simple meaning is that daily minyan is a key merit for a community. But my grandfather suggested that it goes much deeper than that. Bavel represents all Jewish life in diaspora communities. Ika sabed lebavo is a question. What is the secret of communal longevity and survivability of the Jewish people in the diaspora? And the answer is mekadmei u'mechashkei. They are passionate about Jewish life. Synagogue life isn't just about going through the motions. Its members come to shul to daven, to meditate, to learn, to grow, shift to the Beit Hashem. They see a Beit Knesset as a house of Knesset Israel, the community of Israel, chesed, social activities, a passion and value to educate the children to be present in shul, to be present in shul life, and themselves to be passionate about Jewish life. The cycle continues. Such a community in diaspora can attain longevity. But there's a second part of that story, and with this I will conclude. Tanya the Balozer Kapar Omer, Atidin Batek Nesiotu Batemi Doshot Sheva Bavel, Shikavu, the Eretz Israel. The Balozer Kapar taught the Batek Neset, the synagogues, the schools, the yeshivot that make up the spiritual core of the communities in the diaspora are all destined to be uprooted and transported or transplanted in Israel. I ask a simple question. When? I believe the answer is that when the center of gravity of the Jewish world shifts back to Israel. And that's what we are seeing in our generation. I've often said that what defines religious Zionism isn't the question of whether we say Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut, although I believe we should, nor is it the question of whether we recite the prayer for the IDF for the state, or the prayer for the state of Israel, although I believe we should. What defines religious Zionism, really, is the notion that Jewish history is dynamic, not static, that God speaks to us through historical events. And his message to our generation is clear. Moshiv yechidim habayta. I want you to come home as individuals, as a people, as a nation. I want you to revive the Hebrew language of Tanakh as a living language. I want you to revive the land as a living people. Upon it, revive the army of David HaMelech. Revive the spirit and passion of Jewish life in Israel. We send our children to Israel to become inspired. We send our children to Israel to learn Torah at the highest levels. That's not an accident. That's because the center of gravity of Torah and Jewish life has shifted to Israel. That's the unique message of our generation. There will come a time in history, teach our sages, when our people's passion and spirit will emanate no longer from Babel, but from Israel, and the Shekhinah will be manifest there. And when we understand that the next chapter of Jewish history is being written there, much like the words of the Torah engraved on the stones of the Jordan River and enshrined on the mountains of Brizim and Evo, it's time for the story of Jewish history to continue from inside the land of Israel, not outside it. That's the conversation God is having with us today. The voice of knocking that the Soloveitchik speaks about in Kol LeDafek is getting louder, not quieter, because the passion is growing and Israel is calling. As Bela spoke about earlier, our feelings tonight are mixed. We are sad to leave such a vibrant and energetic community when the world around us especially is turning so much darker. We are sad to leave you, our friends and extended family, and the relationships we have forged. We are excited about the fulfillment of our dream to return home to our people, our land, and our family in Israel. And to beckon to all of you, don't be afraid to follow. We are grateful to the Almighty for every day, for giving Bela and me the strength to lead this community for 18 years. We will cherish our friendships. We have laughed together. We have cried together. We have sung together and shared Divrei Torah, grown and challenged one another. But now it's time to sing one last song. Thank you.